Prologue.
2, 1, and action.
I just want to kick off with a couple of disclaimers. Welcome to the modern world, eh? First of all, this is my first book, and very probably my last, for two reasons. Mainly that I'm awful at writing. I write like I talk, in circles. But also, I have very, very little spare time, so although I fully commit myself to writing this book, I'm aware I'm going to struggle to finish it. Certainly in the near future, so penning a second instalment I think is even more unlikely. Today is Saturday the 20th of February 2010. I'm 27. I'm on a weekend breakaway with my wife. It's now the evening and we're relaxing in a cottage in Devon. I'm currently sat with a documentary on in the background telling me all about a discovery of a baby woolly mammoth. I wonder now exactly when I'm going to complete this book. Maybe it's going to take me so long that in a few thousand years' time, they'll simply discover the prologue and I'll have given up there. My second disclaimer is that, however much this book may read as an autobiography, I guarantee you it is not intended to be that way. So whatever chapter you get to and think, hang on, this is a bloody autobiography, Ward, well, I tell you now, it is not. This is a book written for the budding entrepreneur in you, to please the little voice inside you that says, I can do this better. That voice that beckons you away from your full-time employment to do something different for yourself. For others, to truly make your mark the way you want to make it. This is a book about life, money, business and love. Well, maybe how you could learn from my inability to love particularly effectively. A guide on how to do things right, based on the many things I've done wrong. Oh, and just in case you're interested, my lovely wife has just switched over from Channel 4 to BBC One to watch the end of Casualty. She doesn't think I'm watching the documentary because I'm too busy on my laptop. The story of my last 5 years in so many ways. TV may not be something that interests you. I can understand that. But for me, personally, deep down, I love that amazing little box in the corner that turns weird signals into amazing colours, movement, stories and sound. All in the corner of your living room. You probably don't believe it. But it's the most effective way of teaching people, of changing people's opinions, also, regrettably, of totally misleading people. For me, TV is a bit of an addiction. It's a hobby, it's a job, and sadly, it's also a lifestyle. I don't actually watch a lot of TV or films, but if I'm not out being active or I'm not working, which can be 16 to 20 hours a day, I need the TV to calm me down. I go to bed with it on, I turn it on first thing in the morning to catch up on the news. My brain needs the visual movement almost all the time to function. It does something to me that can stimulate my mind and allow me to totally relax, which is, I'm sure, why I decided to turn that hobby into a job. Essentially, anyone who wants to start a business needs a similar mentality. Can you turn a hobby into a full-time job and still love it? How are you even going to know when you've never done it before? So, enough about TV. Let's focus and talk business. After all, I don't want this book to be just for people who like watching television and go, I like watching TV, I'm gonna make TV. Then I risk this alienating the people I actually really want to talk to, because the majority of people I've spoken to in my own industry have no inclination to improve their company, because they're a creative and they simply don't give a fuck, darling. Over the years, I've been asked many times, so what's the secret to running a successful business? I remember asking something similar when I was young to a few people I respected in the industry. Sadly, the answer I always give, because it's the reality, is that there is no secret. The more work I put in, the more I get out. It's really incredibly simple. So, if at this point you're thinking, oh, I don't have a lot of time, or I can't be asked to put in the effort, well, if you genuinely believe that, I recommend you probably stop reading. If you're the type of person who doesn't like hard work, again, this book is probably not for you. Well, what I'm saying is, this is not a book to magically transform you from lazy to a go-getter. It's intended for a go-getter to become a go-doer. I'm imagining you right now, a driven individual with a calling. Yes, you. The one with the confidence to know they can make something great and really make a difference, make an impact on their industry, on business, on the world. Or like me, just make some tiny changes to the way things are done. Age is not the factor here. But of course, if you've been an MD for someone else for, I don't know, 20 years, you may just find this whole thing a little bit laughable. Do let me know if I'm wrong, though. Right then, let's get to it. Be under no illusion, there isn't a magic solution to making money that is either legal or morally correct. So, if you're still with me, great. Well, in media industry terms, the director's cut is the first edit of a film or campaign, as the director had intended it to be. At this point, often the director of the film is done. He walks away and gives the work to the client, the agency, whoever's commissioning the work. After this, the film you actually get to see in the cinema, on TV, on the web, is changed. Often beyond recognition, by the executive producer, by the client, the agency, the client's mate Dave. The long and short of it is, 9.8 times out of 10, the director's cut never sees the light of day. Only when directors get very famous do you often find a re-release of a film the way the director wanted you to see it. This may seem like a strange concept. Why would you commission a director only to change their work? I often ask myself the same question, probably about twice a day, and have done for many years. The irony of this situation is, what often happens after the director's cut severely degrades the vision and often lessens the impact of the work. Even funnier is that in my own experience, when we pitch for new business, we only ever show director's cuts. We never show the finished film, and this is the way we win new work. So the next client, who is highly likely to change their edit to please themselves and their stakeholders, will in fact be commissioning us because the director's cut was so effective on previous projects. What I'm trying to say here, well, actually, nothing other than to say that there is a strange and perverse link in what is done with the director's work in the film and their work in the business. In business, just because you're the director does not mean you have the final say. It does not mean you deserve all the credit. It doesn't mean you earn all the money. And in many cases, you'll find you'll have to sell out or do things that you don't even believe are completely right in order to get the job done. You get paid, you support your family and your team around you. Knowing when to do this is a key, and a mixture of instinct and practice will enable you to know what decision to make. Oh, and the other reason I'm telling you this is because I'm very into giving an insight into the terminology of filmmaking. But for now, forget the film director. I've kind of been trying to do that myself for 10 years. Let's focus on the business director. This book's title is actually talking about director in the form of the person who runs a company, the person named the director in the company register. My perspective in this book is entirely on the cut which the director actually takes from his business, both emotionally and financially. As I mentioned, this business cut has a similar feel, personally and emotionally anyway, to how a director's cut in film plays out. You'll often be discarded, often feel like you've made the wrong move, or why would other people be changing your work? Often you'll feel defeated, consistently feeling like people are commissioning you to work for them, only to tell you what you and your business should think, do, and how they should act. Business and business ownership is never the thing people see on the outside. They see the shiny car and the shiny office. Until you've lived it, you can't possibly understand. So let's cut to the chase and get on with the book. I'm starting to get bored of listening to myself.